Latter-day Saint Voices. Krista May's Courage by Christine Zimpel. Krista May, my oldest daughter, suffers from muscular dystrophy, and although for several years she was able to get about without a walker or wheelchair, she moved awkwardly and fell easily. When she was 8 years old, she had a part in the Children's Sacrament Meeting presentation. Krista May loves to get attention, and she was very excited about saying her part. I had helped her with her talk, and I remember feeling very strongly that what she was saying would be profoundly important. She was speaking about what Jesus Christ's sacrifice meant for her. "Because he loved me so much and was so very brave," she practiced, "I can be forgiven when I repent, and someday, when I am resurrected, I will have a strong, healthy body." On the day of the program, I watched anxiously as she stood to go to the pulpit, her face wreathed in smiles and her eyes twinkling. Then, on her way to the stand, Krista May fell, face first, to the floor. I knew she would be unable to stand without help, but a loving primary teacher quickly came to her aid. As she lifted my daughter to her own shoulder and comforted her, I was grateful there were loving arms around Krista May. I nearly went to get her, but the Spirit reminded me of the importance of the message she had to give. I also knew that she would be disappointed in herself if she did not stand and say her part. As her tear-filled eyes met mine across the chapel, I saw that she was deeply embarrassed, but she seemed unhurt. At that moment, in a very small way, I felt I could relate to our Heavenly Father's suffering while His Son performed His mission of sacrifice. While I choked back my own tears, I mouthed to her to go on and give her talk. Everything would be okay. I could barely believe her courage as she stood at the microphone and delivered her talk in a clear voice. Nearly every eye filled with tears as she spoke of her gratitude to the Savior for the strong body she would someday have. I learned through this experience that some missions cannot be accomplished in healthy bodies. The message she gave that day just wouldn't have had the same impact if it had been given by someone else. This lesson was an especially important one for me, since Krista May has a sister with the same condition, and I, too, suffer from a mild form of muscular dystrophy. On that special day, Krista May's courage taught us about the ultimate miracle of Jesus Christ's atonement and resurrection. Christine Zimpel is a member of the Cirrus Second Ward, Turlock, California Stake. "I Had Never Felt Such Joy" by Daniel S. Hidalgo. Some time ago, I went into a flower shop and started talking to the owner about the plants he was selling, and we exchanged ideas about the different ways of growing them. After that, each time I worked in that area, I would go into this shop and talk to the owner about his work and mine, until, little by little, I began to talk to him about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I started by talking about God and sharing what I felt about Him. Diego, the owner of the flower business, told me he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He just believed in an entity who had the power to create all things. This surprised me, and I told him I wanted to give him something that was very important to me, the Book of Mormon. I also told him I wanted to introduce him to the missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Diego agreed. I set up the appointment, and later the missionaries went to his business. After he had received three discussions, he invited the missionaries to his home. At this time, my work area changed, but one day I happened to run into the missionaries who were teaching Diego. I asked him and tried to find out what kind of progress he was making. They told me he was going to be baptized, but they didn't know when. A week later, I learned that Diego's family had been baptized, except for his daughter Carla. I was happy to hear about their decision. My contact had borne fruit. 2 weeks later, at a stake meeting, I heard about a convert named Diego Paez, who had recently been baptized and who was very enthusiastic about the church. Later, the mission president told me they were going to confirm him on Sunday. The following Sunday, I went to Diego's ward and saw him sitting with his family on one of the pews. I sat down next to him, and he smiled and said, "Thank you, Daniel." When Diego sat in the chair where the Elders' Quorum president would confirm him a member of the church, I was invited to join the circle. I did so. And when the Elders' Quorum president said the words, "Receive the Holy Ghost," I too could feel the influence of the Spirit. My heart beat hard, and peace completely overwhelmed me. I had never felt such joy. When Diego stood up, I embraced him. Tears sprang from my eyes. I felt strengthened, as described in Doctrine and Covenants, section 50, verse 22. Wherefore, he that preacheth and he that receiveth understand one another, and both are edified and rejoice together. As for Diego's daughter Carla, she was baptized the following week by her father. The pious family has continued to progress. Milagros, who was 3 years old at the time of the baptisms, kneels down and says prayers with her parents, asking Heavenly Father to bless her family. Diego and his wife Gabriela work to share the gospel with others. There must be a lot of pious families all over the world, just waiting for someone to bring the light of the truth into their lives. What a joy it is to share what we feel for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to be able to help others feel the way we do. Daniel S. Hidalgo is a member of the Trapiche Ward, Godoy Cruz, Argentina Stake. Not Enough Bread by Evelyn B. Caesar. I can still remember the storm that first Sunday of September, 1989. I was living in the Cadiz ward of the Cadiz Philippine Stake. The sky filled with great black clouds and rain poured down. Sacrament meetings started punctually at 9 a.m. I looked around the chapel and saw that most of the benches were empty. In fact, only 5 people were in attendance. It was hard for the members to get to church in the rain, especially those who lived far away. A few more people filtered in while we were singing the opening hymn. More continued to arrive, while the names of new ward members were being read. When we began to sing the sacrament hymn, I looked around again. I was surprised to see an unusually large congregation of about 100 people. I looked at the 2 brethren, breaking the bread for the sacrament. Something was troubling them. I could tell by the looks on their faces. The hymn ended, and 1 man knelt to offer the blessing on the bread. To my surprise, after the prayer, the men at the sacrament table did not proceed immediately. Their heads remained bowed for a moment. Then they started handing the trays to the Aaronic priesthood holders. The young men also had sober looks on their faces as they accepted the trays. I didn't know what was wrong, but I closed my eyes and said a silent prayer too. After the sacrament had been passed, the bishop gave the members time to bear their testimonies. The first person to come to the pulpit was one of the men who had blessed the sacrament. He spoke of the great love God has for all his children. I felt my bosom burn within me as I listened. I was filled with joy and gratitude for my testimony that God lives and that he does love us. This speaker was followed by his companion at the sacrament table. In an emotional voice, he told us that we had witnessed a miracle that day. He explained that the bishop had brought only 2 small rolls of bread for the sacrament. Since the rains were heavy, he probably expected the congregation to be smaller than normal. Then the members began to flood in. The 2 men knew that no matter how they broke the bread, there wasn't going to be enough. So, after the sacrament prayer, they said another prayer and told the Lord there were only about 40 pieces of bread to serve 100 people or more. They asked for divine intervention. Then the bread was passed to the people. The 2 brethren watched carefully, as every person desiring to do so partook of the sacrament. There was enough for all. As we learned what had happened, the congregation was silent for a few moments. The Spirit could be felt so strongly that nobody wanted to break that silence. Tears filled our eyes. The silence was finally broken by the voice of our bishop, who stood to tell us how blessed we were to have the priesthood of God. With God, he said, nothing is impossible. Heavenly Father moves in mysterious ways to bestow blessings on his children. If we pray in faith, he hears our prayers and answers them. Evelyn B. Cesar is a member of the Lopez Hyena Branch, Sagay, Philippines District. The Good Samaritans in Coats by Alan P. Kingston. My wife and I are retired senior citizens from Portsmouth, England. We've been married for 48 years and are Anglican Christians. Before a memorable trip to Canada, we had the impression that members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were a bit pushy, overly religious, and determined to convert everyone not of their faith. However, a snowstorm in Canada began changing our impressions. We were in a group of mainly older British tourists traveling through Banff, Canada, Yellowstone National Park, and the Rocky Mountains. Unfortunately, the weather was not very kind to our group. After staying in Lethbridge, Canada, we awoke to find it had snowed in the night. Later that morning, as we traveled toward the U.S. border, the rain turned to snow, and at the border we discovered the road was closed on the American side. There was nothing we could do but turn back. 5 miles or 8 kilometers down the road, we encountered a jackknifed truck and trailer blocking the highway. We were unable to go forward and unable to go backward. Stranded in our bus, we settled down to guessing games, a sing-along, and general fun, confident that help would arrive and that we would be safe in the bus until then. More than 5 hours later, help finally did arrive. A Royal Canadian Police Mountie on a snowmobile found us, and a fire truck managed to carve a track in the snow, allowing the bus to turn around. Weary and hungry, we made our way to the nearest community and found ourselves pulling up to the church that several of the firefighters attended, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Meeting House in Coates, Alberta, Canada. The Anglican church we attend is 150 years old, with a small communal hall and limited facilities. So the thought of a church congregation taking in 40 strangers stranded in the snow didn't seem feasible. But within an hour of our arrival, the women and young people of the ward had served up a full meal of jacket potatoes and chili. We were particularly impressed when we discovered that our rescuers had pressing problems of their own. A young mum had had the power cut off to her home, but she left her younger children with a kind friend and came with her older children to help us. A counselor to the bishop gave us a tour of the building and took time to ensure that we were cared for before going to work that evening. Before we went to bed, the youth of the Coates ward treated us to an impromptu performance of a play they had been rehearsing, and finally the central heating was turned up and we were made comfortable for the night. The next morning the roads had improved sufficiently for us to continue our journey. After the ward members prepared breakfast, we set out again on our enjoyable trip. But we remained overwhelmed by the hospitality shown by the Latter-day Saints. They willingly opened up their church and provided food, bedding, and above all friendship to stranded strangers. Although we had believed Latter-day Saints to be somewhat pushy, we saw instead kind, caring people who demonstrate their beliefs in their day-to-day lives. Back in England, we keep our holiday fresh in our minds, and we thank God for our Latter-day Saint friends and Samaritans. Alan P. Kingston lives in Portsmouth, England. End of Latter-day Saint Voices.